And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries. And this is Sam Britton sitting in along with Charlie Stewart this time. I'm running the board because we're doing a live show, and we have a special guest. And these subjects keep coming up because we have these problems with these overzealous state troopers in various parts of the state. And some of you may remember we did the interview with somebody that you guys know very well, and that's Jeff Thomas. Well, we have another gentleman who has run into a foul with the Missouri state system here, and that's Abram. And Abram, welcome to the broadcast. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much, Sam. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let's start from the beginning. You know, as all of you know, we don't have a problem with police officers per se. Where we have a problem is when we have police officers getting after people for petty stuff as opposed to fighting real crime. So let's start out with the beginning of your story and let's work our way forward, Abram.
Thank you, Sam. Please bear with me for a few minutes because I just took the time to write this little introduction to who I am and the important points of what happened to me last week. So please bear with me. I'm just going to read off my little introduction here.
So, go ahead.
I am Abram, son of the father. My body passed out of my mother's womb about 22 years ago. I was raised on a small farm with no identity in any human government. Then my mother divorced when I was around 6 years old and plunged my siblings and I headlong into the system. My dad, though not a Christian, made sure that I was aware of the attempts of the school teachers to imbue me with statism and atheism. Furthermore, while I was still young and attending a small Baptist church, I made the decision to follow Christ and accept his sovereignty over my life. But it wasn't until a little over a year ago that I met a girl that introduced me to the perspective on what it means to fully follow Christ, which I now hold. The name my parents gave me was Abram John Lazorek. This is no longer who I am. I am Abram, a son of the Father, and I, with a few like-minded men, seek to establish godly government on God's green earth. Until this lofty goal is accomplished, however, my brethren and I will continue to righteously endure persecution from the apostate state and populace that surround us. I will now share an example of this persecution that happened to me recently. I was riding in the back seat of a car on May 4th, 2024, at around 1 p.m., when a man in a police car pulled the driver over. The driver and the two passengers, excluding myself, were fellow believers with me and therefore carried no driver's license or insurance. It was explained to the man who we were, and we willingly had passed over our personal ID cards. But the man came back wearing a suit of armor and an attitude that was set against us. I was ordered to step out of the vehicle and handcuffed by the man on felony charges of, quote-unquote, failing to identify myself. The man did not understand that I had willingly informed him to the best of my ability of who I was and what I stood for. But from his point of view, I was nothing more than a rebellious citizen of his apostate nation with no rights or say in what would happen to me from that point onward. Knowing this, I did not put up any physical resistance, but tried to reach the man's heart with my words. The man believed that I was playing games with him for failing to present a driver's license or similar state ID. It is my hope that through the sharing of this story, more people will realize that this is not a game, but the result of a sincerely held conviction that Jesus the Christ is the last and only king that God allows his people to serve. It is not a game when you are willing to lose hours of your life held in a jail cell. I was held for around 24. It's not a game when you are willing to undergo extreme physical pain. I was pepper sprayed. It is not a game when you are willing to be brought to shame. I was forcibly stripped naked by another man. It is not a game. It is my faith. It is taking up my cross and following Jesus the Christ exclusively, even if that may lead to my execution by a pretentious human government. Freedom of religion in the United States has never truly existed. The Romans, for example, were permitted to worship whatever so-called deity they chose, except for Jesus Christ. The early Christians were heavily persecuted by Rome because their faith in Christ was not compatible with Caesar's claim to be the Son of God and the only one with divine right to rule. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only one with divine right to rule, it is the same today. Christians are unable to live freely among a people that outlaws Christianity, and yet we are peaceful, enduring a one-sided barrage of insults, mockery, assault, theft, and cruel treatment, meanwhile seeking fellowship with one another and the establishment of the rule of Christ on the land that we own. But for those that might find themselves similarly bound to persecution, it should be remembered that the representatives of a godless and heartless state are not themselves heartless and can be reached with forbearance and compassion and sincerity. In my case, I was treated unfairly and cruelly by biblical standards, but not uncommonly worse than has come to be expected from modern policemen. And I also enjoyed some small victories. I never got a mugshot, and I never wore the orange pajamas. The former was because I made it clear that being photographed was against my faith, which was why I did not have one on my personal ID card. And the latter was because I made it known that I would not put on clothes that did not belong to me, in violation of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. I was even able to get them to violate their own rigid protocol when, on the morning of the second day I was held, they gave me back my own clothes and did not force me to strip down again upon subsequent returns to the solitary confinement cell. At least here I had a small victory, and then my captors showed that they were capable of a small amount of human compassion even for me, instead of behaving like the cold, unthinking automatons ruthlessly executing a meaningless protocol that their system has trained them to be. So that was my little introduction to what happened.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Have they charged you formally with anything?
Well, the only time that I was read charges, I wasn't read charges, you could say. The only time that charges were made known to me was by this man at the moment of that he detained me forcibly. Okay. And then after that, and then when I was allowed to leave, he made it known to me that all charges were dropped.
Okay, and see, this is the thing that bothers me about all of this stuff, is that, first of all, it would be, in my opinion, a frivolous charge anyway, because, the whole issue of permission to travel freely is something that has been embraced. It's something that's fairly modern, compared to, before we ever had vehicles, we didn't have that. But now we have vehicles. Now they want to do the driver's license thing and all that kind of stuff. Licensure doesn't make you good or bad or whatever.
Sam.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam. He was a passenger in the back seat of the car.
Well, and that's right. I mean, why would he even have to show any kind of ID in the first place? I mean, and really what it boils down to, it was the ID that didn't like the ID is really what it boils down to. Because now you are identifying yourself through your ID as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And this is something we've seen over and over again. Like I said, we interviewed Jeff Thomas. He had he didn't have the issues quite the same way you did, but very, very similar. And
right.
The bottom line is, as has been stated many, many times, I know you've stated it, Charlie, and we've talked about it many times, when they're really going after truly bad guys, it's one thing. But anymore, they seemingly want to do this stuff. And, where they will detain somebody and then let them go with no charges after they totally disrupted their lives for about 24 to 48 hours or better. And my question out of this mm-hmm. whole thing is, first of all, how do we ever get here? Well, I'll explain briefly how we got here. Unless you were a suspect at one time, truly a suspect in a crime, you were not to be held or picked up off the street unless there was truly a good reason. Now they have this new term called person of interest. In other words, it doesn't mean you're a suspect of a crime, but they're just interested in you. And
yeah, and Sam, I don't think a lot of people understand where this came from, because they have millions and millions of laws that they have created. They have turned, in fact, it went through the COVID thing, they turned even breathing. If you didn't breathe the way they told you to, they made it against their law. So what has happened is there are literally thousands and thousands of outstanding warrants in each county. And there's no possible way that their police force can go out and round up all these people with thousands and thousands of warrants. So what they do is whenever they encounter someone in any type of a traffic stop or whatever encounter, the first thing they do is they demand ID. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to find out if that person has an outstanding warrant.
Right.
Because there's no possible way that they can go. Do you know, Sam, when I was going through what I went through, I looked to see how many outstanding warrants there were in Lawrence County, Missouri. Lawrence County, Missouri is a county of a population of about 38,000. And do you know how many outstanding warrants there were in Lawrence County last time I looked? Over 8,500 outstanding warrants.
Wow.
In a county of a population of 38,000.
Yep.
So there's something wrong there.
Well, there is.
And that's what it is. And so since they immediately assume that everybody that they encounter belongs to them, like cattle in the field with an ear tag, you show them ID when they demand it or else. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Well, even in their system, I believe that you are not required to show ID unless the officer can give you it, unless the officer reveals to you what his reason for stopping you or being quote unquote interested in you is. And if he can't provide a reasonable reason for that, you still probably might end up getting arrested for, you know, perceived noncompliance, but it would be something at least would be worth questioning them about, and that you would have warrant for doing that.
Well, what's so egregious about this? I mean, the whole thing is egregious all the way around. I mean, because you guys were just traveling through. Nobody had harmed anything. Nobody had bothered anybody. But what's so egregious about it is you were just a passenger in the vehicle. I mean, I ride with people all the time as a blind person. And I don't, you know, I mean, now most of them I know in some form or fashion. But do I always double check to make sure whether they have any outstanding warrants or anything before I ride with them? No, I just assume that everything is good. So by association, basically by association, whether right or wrong in this case, as far as the driver and the other passengers, by association, you were considered a person of interest just simply because you were riding with them. Now, never mind that the truth be known, everybody was stopped for the same reason. Did they do the same thing with the passenger and the driver as well?
Well, not quite. The driver was arrested and sort of booked and released. Then one of the other passengers was another young woman, and another one was an elderly woman. So I believe that they received softer treatment because of being women, young and old, than I did.
Yeah, but the main thing being is that there was no crime that had been committed before they put everybody through all this stuff is the main thing. And in your case, particularly because you were just riding in the back seat of the vehicle as a passenger. And
well, one thing that I think it's important for us to understand to put all of this into perspective is the officer. See, I did have some brief conversations with the officer, or, you know, this man who was acting as an officer. And I told him that it was my perception of an American, a traditional American, you know, legal principle that people should be presumed innocent until they can be proven guilty. And what he told me was rather shocking. He said, no, you have to prove your innocence.
Yep.
And I think that we, America, may at one time have maintained, I think, the biblical principle of innocent until proven guilty. But now that is no longer the case. And why is it no longer the case? And I, and from my perspective and of watching, what I can learn from history is that they claim, see, none of these, something like you have to prove your innocence sounds like something from George Orwell's 1984 or Nazi Germany or something like that. And I think that people of 50 years ago would have also been horrified by it. But I think the reason we've gotten here today is because of, you know, decades of social conditioning by the government and those secret interests behind the government that control it. And how they've accomplished that, you know, from my perspective, is making neighbors afraid of neighbors, making people just intrinsically afraid of those around them, because I believe that the government has carried out acts of terror on its own population, such as the 9/11 attacks and certain things like that, which should never have happened, you know, at all, but only did because they were really sanctioned by the government for the purpose of traumatizing the population into accepting measures of law, such as the principle that you have to prove your innocence. Because if everybody's going around and fearing that their neighbor, people just driving down the street, are, you know, school shooters or terrorists or bombers or something like that, you know, if they're in a constant state of fear like that, that's the only way I think that that they can be drummed into the acceptance of treatment such as I received.
Well, you're exactly right. And let me step back a little further on this. Where we actually first really started coming down with this guilty until proven innocent, it is from no other place than the IRS. That's been around a long time. And I said on one of my radio shows here several years back, I predicted that this would become a cancer that would spread throughout the rest of society. Because, see, up to this point, I mean, not up to this point, but up to fairly recently, up before like 9/11 happened. See, 9/11 was the bellwether that the state used. I'm using the term as a collective term in this case.
Right.
When we had 9/11, that was their justification for all this new draconian stuff. And I always keep reminding people, when you're fighting all this stuff, none of the population, including my listeners, and I can safely say that, my listeners, the listeners to this broadcast right now, had nothing to do with 9/11. None of us were even in D.C. the day that that happened. However, it was an open door for revenge against everybody. That's when the federal government, certainly, and far too many cases state governments, declared war on the people. And 9/11 was the catalyst for that. Now, prior to that, we still had one ugly problem, and it's an ugly problem that goes all the way back into our Constitution, the Constitution that everybody talks about, and that's that pesky 16th Amendment and the whole idea with the income tax and the IRS, because the IRS has been operating under this guilty until proven innocent for a very long time. And now it's just recently, within the past several years since 9/11, has started creeping over into other stuff. So this is a little background to how we got to where we are.
Hmm. And it all goes back to, I think, rebelling against God's laws, because we know that taxing a man's labor or income is expressly prohibited in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so this is something that people need to wake up and understand how we got here. I mean, we got here through a long train of abuses, and they just gradually keep getting worse. I mean, now they're coming after freedom of speech, all under the idea of supposedly we have this humongous problem with anti-Semitism, which we don't. But they have to make this stuff up in order to come after what they want. They want everybody scared death of everybody. They want to incentivize. Canada's already doing this now. Canada will pay anybody boatloads of money to tattle on other people, but the person who's accused of whatever the complainer claims is going on, they don't get a cent to defend themselves. This is how bad it's gotten in Canada, and I guarantee you this is going to start showing up over here. And this is why this is why we have to keep fighting and standing up against this stuff and our right to peacefully exist. I mean, as long as you don't harm anybody, you have the right to travel as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Because isn't it interesting how UN diplomats can travel all over the place with all over the world with a UN ID, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're traveling around with an ID that says Commonwealth of Israel, somehow that's a problem.
Exactly. And yeah. I think that, Charlie, did you have something to say?
No, I'm just listening to you guys talk. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this, like I say, I mean, we have to understand how we got here. And I've gotten to where now I can predict this stuff, how it's going to go before it ever happens. I mean, probably one of the best ones was when we had COVID, because COVID was another bellwether issue, just like the 9/11 issue, in which they're using that now to try to take over our health. They're coming up with this thing called One Health now, where no longer are you an individual. And we have to understand that this march to tyranny is a march that's been going on for a very long time. And the problem is trying to get everybody educated and up to speed. And the ones that are going to be the biggest problem are the people who are ill-informed, and they don't care if they're ill-informed. They get everything off that one-eyed god called the television. That's their god. And this is why we're in the mess we're in, because they can do these things like what happened to you, but yet the media never reports on them, not the mainstream media. We do, and there are other outlets similar to us that do, but the mainstream media doesn't report on these things at all, and this is how they get away with it. So where are we now at this point in your situation?
Hey, Sam, I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
A question for Abram.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, first of all, anybody that's being kidnapped, you know, I mean, has got a right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
But in this instance, Abram, were you unkind to this cop?
No, I wouldn't say that I was.
Did you cuss at him?
Well, there
was trying to find him.
I gave absolutely no physical resistance to what they were doing, because I know that, you know, that is a fight I could never win, and I would end up probably badly beaten up or dead if I did that. So I knew the only way, you know, to be delivered from the situation was simply to forbear and wait, you know, for basically God to move on something to deliver me. There was one moment when I'm trying to reach the heart of this man, and I tell him, you know, that, you know, I accuse him of being a Nazi for forcing me to prove my innocence. And, you know, that can be perceived as an insult, and, you know, he may have been slightly offended by that, but I would qualify that as the only time that, you know, I ever said a word against him.
Okay, well, hang on to that thought for just one second. See, Sam and I are the only two in this conversation that are old enough to remember this stuff.
Yeah.
your mother says you're 22. Okay, well, Sam and I are much older than that. Sam and I remember the days where the Nazis, it was a horrible thing that the Nazis supposedly did it was a worldwide slogan. Everybody knew it. The Nazis were accused of this terrible, terrible thing called "Show me your papers."
Yep.
And it was a very disparaging thing. It was a thing that supposedly made the Nazis hated, and it was that the Nazis had become famous for "Show me your papers." And yet, so it is. It's not out of the realm of anything to say in the U.S. when a cop encounters somebody and the very first thing he says is, "Give me your ID." That is exactly the same thing as in Nazi Germany from 1941 to 1945 when it was, "Show me your papers." And yet, today in our country, it's to the point where people are proud to show their papers. They love to show their papers. But there was a time in the world where that was a very, very disparaging thing to accuse someone of accusing someone of saying, "Show me your papers."
Yep, that's very true. And not a lot of people, I think, are aware that when World War II ended, the United States was very keen to actually accept a lot of high-level people from the Nazi government, you know, actually onto American soil. And people such as scientists, but I think they also had probably some greater influence. And I'm not saying that these evil spirits of "Show me your papers" and things like that, we can't all blame that on the Nazis and Nazi Germany. It's all stems from the corrupted human heart and the desire to usurp power.
It is a natural progression. And when men start believing that they have the power to define good and evil, eventually all freedom will be lost. And that's where we are.
Yep, and you made
a natural progression of things.
Yeah, and you made a point, Charlie, on your previous sermon last week. I think it was last week, but it was one of them that really struck a chord with me. And that is the difference between man's laws and God's laws. God can see the big picture way, way far ahead. I mean, God knows all and sees all. Man, when he makes laws, he cannot foresee the big picture and the stuff that he's trying to do. That's why we have constant tweaks. I mean, every time you turn around, there's a tweak to this law, there's a tweak to that law. I mean, you see it all over the place. I mean, everything's constantly in a state of flux, as if man can create his own perfect society. Well, we know that's not true, that we know that cannot happen. But the point I'm making out of all this is something that you stated was that God knows the big picture and everything that he did when his laws were laid down. Man does not. And this is why man's laws will never work when man takes it upon himself to make laws outside of the laws of God.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, Isaiah 46:10 says, verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand." Man does not have the ability to know the end from the beginning.
Yes.
That's why God and God alone should be the definer of good and evil. And his definitions of good and evil are found in the scriptures. And it's in a book that's barely 2 inches thick.
Yeah, where in law libraries you have shelves and shelves and shelves of books, and this is why I've always said there's no way that any one person could know every law that's in all those books. So those are more like a catch-all, so that if they want to get you for something, I mean, we've actually had police officers who have come out and actually boasted that they could pick up anybody off the street and find something on them because there's just so many laws that we break on a daily basis, man's laws, and we don't even know we break them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I believe there was a famous Nazi that said, or one such person who said, he was proud to say, give me the man and I'll give you the crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was some lawyer wrote some book or paper or something and said the average U.S. citizen commits X number of felonies every day.
Yeah, and I can't remember their names, but I do know who you're talking about. There is a book called Three Felonies a Day, and I can't remember the name of those. I'll have to search and find out the name of those people, but that is a book that people should get a hold of.
Right. And for people that would think that that's absolute ridiculous statement to make, you know, I mean, for instance, I know that one of the things in his book was just something like speeding. You know, under their laws, you know, if you speed like three times or something, then that can be turned into a felony.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I know that I know people in their world speed constantly because I see them blowing by me all the time. So, you know, but there, some lawyer wrote a book about, you know, committing felonies every single day.
Absolutely. Well, we're just past 10:30, but we can go slightly over if you want to, because I don't want to push the audience too far along in this. But, Charlie, we can go a little more if we need to, because I'll make sure your sermon gets in here that you originally had.
No, you do whatever you want to do, Sam. But I am going to cut out of here so I can just listen to the two of you if you decide to continue.
No, that's fine. And we'll finish up here and then we'll roll with your original sermon that you uploaded.
Sounds good, Sam.
All right. God bless,
well,
Charlie.
You too. Before we wrap up, I might want to just leave a final word, which is Solomon said that we should value wisdom more than rubies, more than much fine gold and silver. And that is very true. What we each individually need to be doing is seeking wisdom, right living from the Word of God. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, what kind of people, what kind of Christians ought we to be? What kind of men, how ought we to quit ourselves like men on a daily basis to show ourselves approved unto God? And to bring glory to God. Do we want to be a population and a people that are so helpless to guide their own lives that we need a million statutes fencing us in from committing potential crimes and evil? Are we so helpless, so without a moral compass that we are so at risk of constantly going wrong that we need a great mother state to constantly be cooing at us and nudging us this way and that way? And well, actually, it's more like a drunken, abusive father, but I hope you get the picture.
Yeah. Well,
as men of God, we need to be seeking the wisdom to guide our own lives and humbling ourselves to the laws of God and the consequences thereof if we do go astray. But for a man of God, the times of going astray should be few and far between, and he should be and ought to be and is capable of being a free man on God's green earth even today.
No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. And I think we're going to be tested more and more as they continue to come up with stuff. I mean, part of the problem that we're in the mess we're in is because of today's churches, which have totally failed at what they're supposed to be doing. But see, that's why I always refer to the most of these churches out there as churchianity. They don't preach any kind of Christianity.
Right.
Not in the sense that it really should be. And they're always teaching that Christ is a future king. And we just recently had here a while back where there were people out there starting to make a big fuss over the fact that anybody would say that Christ is now king. And I'm thinking, well, either he's king or he's not. So basically what it is you have one of two choices. He's either king now and he rules over your life now, or he's some future king and you can basically do whatever you want and think you can get away with it until this time that he supposedly returns. And his futurism is also another one of the many reasons why we're in the mess we're in. Bad theology has very bad consequences, and we've talked about this on my show as well.
Indeed.
And this is why we're in the mess we're in. I mean, you know, it's just like right now, you know, this trying to make it illegal to criticize Israel when the Israel that they're talking about and the Israel that you and Charlie and all of us talk about all the time, it's not a piece of land, it's a people. And see, that's the difference in the way far too many people in the churches view it. I mean, the modern thing they call Israel was actually conceived back in the 1940s. It's a fairly new thing. But Israel has always been a people. And see, this is part of the reason we're in the mess we're in, because when you go showing a document that says you're a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, most people out there don't even know what the Commonwealth of Israel is. They think the Commonwealth of Israel is this, you know, they just think Israel is this piece of land over in the Middle East, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
So,
well, I want the people who are listening to this show right now, I want them to know that we may use terms like the mess we're in and such like this, which can be disparaging, but I want each and every one of us to know that getting out of that mess just takes one step. And that one step, you know, is putting the sovereignty of your soul and your life under Jesus Christ. And once you do that, you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you are singing praises to Jesus Christ for the opportunity to represent him on his earth and show forth glory and light amongst a reprobate generation. And it is, though we suffer pain and persecution, it is a blessing to know Christ and shine forth his light in our lives.
There you go. Well, Abram, I want to thank you for being such a great guest with me, and I also want to thank Charlie Stewart, because these are shows that need to be brought to people's attention. We're going to go ahead and close with this interview. Stay on the line with me for a few minutes, if you would, and mm-hmm. We'll start with we'll go ahead and continue with Charlie's sermon. And so, in the meantime, blessings to you all, and we will go back to the sermon now as regularly scheduled. And God bless, and we will talk soon. Take care.
God send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, his lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I want to take some time today to say a few more things about the special message that we did this past week. I hope you're able to listen to that message, and if not, you can always go to the website at www.godsendusmen.com and hear a replay. You know, I've recently found out that some people don't even know that the replays are available, but every message that's been aired on Missouri Liberty Radio since the summer of 2018 is available on the audio page. On the home page, at the top of that page, there's a shortcut link to the most recent message, including the written transcript. But on the audio page, there's a full description plus the link to the transcript. And then all the messages starting from the first one and going to the latest are listed on the audio page. After you see the most recent messages link, if you scroll down a little further, you find the beginning of the messages that have aired on Missouri Liberty Radio. And those messages begin with the first message in the series on Matthew 24. And those messages prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that all Bible prophecy was fulfilled on or before AD 70. As the Lord Jesus said in Luke 24:43-45, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." The understanding that all the law, all the prophets, and all the Psalms, which were all about the Lord Jesus. When someone understands that all of that has been fulfilled, then their understanding will be opened so that they might understand the scriptures. So, we start with the study on fulfilled Bible prophecy, and then we continually build from there. In the message in the middle of this past week, I showed how, once again, and this was nothing new, it's been going on for hundreds of years in the U.S., but once again, the, quote, government of the U.S. has outlawed the Bible. Now, they began their corporate, quote, government with one of the most rebellious statements ever uttered by men. Our Constitution, our laws, our statutes, our treaties, and anything else we claim in accordance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. And since that time, day after day, their, quote, government, federal and states, have been making, quote, laws, which are definitions of good and evil, that have been diametrically opposed to the clear teachings of the Word of God, the words of Christ, the teachings of the apostles, the will of God. And very few people have ever taken a stand against it. And now that we see the results of such rebellion, even seeing the devastation that it has caused, still, very few people see the need to stand for the Word of God in opposition to those who command obedience in living a life that is in direct conflict with the clear teachings of the Word of God. In the message, I shared a short list of the things that have been done. And I'll guarantee you that there isn't one person in a million that has enough understanding of the mind, the Word, the will of God to even know how to intelligently argue those points based on what's found in the Word of God. That's shameful, but it's the truth. And until men and women, boys and girls, get back to a point of a base foundation where our lives must be lived according to "Thus saith the Lord," not only will things not get better, but because the snowball effect has grown and grown, things will continue to get worse and worse, faster and faster. Turn again, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 14 through 15. And if we have time, we'll get to 16. Reading from the KJV, but as we saw the other day, pretty much every single English Bible that's been translated since the 1400s says nearly the exact same thing. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the Ecclesia of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, I've shown for nearly 6 years now, just in the messages on Missouri Liberty Radio, that the English word, quote, church should not be in our Bibles, except for where it describes the pagan temples of Diana. The Greek word is ekklesia, and it's the same Greek word found in the Septuagint that is the word used when talking about the government of Israel. In the olden days of the kings of Israel, Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to set up weekend social organizations. He came here to take the throne of David, the government of Israel. And the first century Christians, as described here by the writer of 1 Thessalonians, were those who had embraced Jesus Christ as the king, the one who was the rightful heir to the throne of David in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, and they had become followers of that ecclesia, that government, whose king was Jesus Christ, who was of the tribe of Judah. And these followers of King Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. As I showed this past week, again, in many different English translations, going back to the 1400s and up to our present times, they all say the same thing. Jews killed the Lord Jesus. Jews killed their own prophets. Jews were persecuting Paul, and they were persecuting the other saints as well. Why? Because the thought process of the Jew is antichrist. The thought process of the Jew is a rejection of the kingship of Jesus Christ. And it isn't just a, quote, race or religion. It is anyone or anything that opposes the government of King Jesus. The reality is, friends, the biggest opposers of the kingship of Jesus Christ, at least in the world that surrounds me closest, is lily white U.S. Americans. Now, in the most technical sense, as far as the world understands and promotes things, the lily-white U.S. American may not be the descendants of the Ashkenazi Jews, like those who currently live in the Middle East. But if we understood history, at least as best we can, we know that all of that is just smoke and mirrors anyway. It's the lily-white people of Great Britain that believe that they are truly the, quote, Jews anyway. But as the Apostle Paul warned, chasing genealogies and lineages and those theories is folly. Look at the belief systems of people. It doesn't matter whether someone is white, black, brown, yellow, pink, or blue. If they oppose the government of Jesus Christ, they are all of their father, the devil, the spiritual leader of Jewry. And that's what we're against. That's what opposes us today. The, quote, churches of the lily-white, quote, churches of America and Great Britain are the world's leading proponents of the, quote, Jews in the Middle East are God's chosen people. And this is one of the foundational reasons why we, as true Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ, are persecuted. This deception called anti-Semitism is the reason why true Christians are persecuted. If the persecutors knew anything of the Bible, they would know that when they persecuted true believers, true followers of Jesus Christ, true men and women, boys and girls that are living according to the exclusive government of God, that's when they were, principally speaking, committing acts of, quote, anti-Semitism. And things would be far different than they are for true believers. The follower of Jesus Christ, the individual who has left the little g, quote, governments of men, and have entered into the government of Christ, the Commonwealth of Israel, so named in Ephesians 2, that is the individual that makes up the chosen people of God. It is not people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. The chosen people of God are not people who have not embraced Jesus Christ. And those who refuse to embrace Jesus Christ call themselves, quote, Jews. They killed the Lord Jesus in the first century. They killed the prophets before that. They killed and persecuted the saints of the first century. And they've been doing the same thing to other Christians ever since. But these acts are not limited to those people who have managed to come together in the Middle East. The sheriff of Douglas County, Missouri, who I don't even know his name, but could just about promise you that he goes to some, quote, church every chance he gets. He would kill the Lord Jesus if he were here today. And we know this because he persecutes Christians today. People who have, just like it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, people who have become followers of the ecclesia of God, who have embraced King Jesus of Judah. People like the sheriff of Douglas County, and I'd say just about all of them, do what they do because they do not understand the phrase, God's chosen people. They have, because they do not have enough Bible knowledge to fill a thimble, have believed the lies of the 501c3 government church man who has been bought and paid for by the Jewish religion of thought control, actually believe that people who hate Jesus Christ are biblically God's chosen people. I've told you this before. If I wear it out, then so be it. And I don't say it to make myself out to be something other than the piece of dirt that I am. But I remember as a little child, could not have been more than 7 or 8 years old, maybe younger, sitting in the front row, first seat of a Baptist, quote, church in Jacksonville, Florida, listening to the, quote, preacher say that it was against the law in Jerusalem to preach Jesus. And then in the next breath, hear him say, quote, the Jews are God's chosen people. And as a little kid, I said in my heart that that was not true, could not be true. And I never, not for a minute of my life, have believed that people who do not believe in Jesus Christ are God's chosen people. And if a little kid can have that understanding, there is no reason, no excuse why grown-up adults can be so biblically inept as to have a belief system that says that people that reject Jesus Christ are God's chosen people. So I don't have sympathy. I don't have reasoning or the ability even to reason and make excuses for otherwise seemingly nice people who say that, quote, Jews are God's chosen people. And then they completely fail to see that God's people are those who have embraced the government of God instead of the little g governments of men and then get persecuted for it. If a man is a, quote, Jew lover today, as in the imposters of the Middle East, then that man spiritually is he himself is a Jew. And it makes it easy as can be to understand why they persecute true Christians today, as in people who have embraced Jesus Christ as the only king, the only potentate. They've come out of the little g, quote, governments of men and into the only God-ordained nation in the new world, the Commonwealth of Israel. People that do not understand the Commonwealth of Israel versus the Israeli of the Middle East do not know the Bible. They do not know the Lord Jesus of the Bible. They do not know the God of creation. And I know that's harsh, but it's the truth. And the truth must be preached no matter if it hurts feelings or not. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. I'll try to get the link added in the notes as soon as I can, but at the end of the special message this week, Sam Britton played a YouTube video, and I've seen the video where a cop from Israeli was telling a journalist who claimed to be a Christian that he should be executed for preaching Jesus Christ in Israeli. That was like within the last year. Where do you think this cop got that understanding from? Do you think he was some rogue cop in Israel just spouting his own beliefs? Of course not. That's what Jews believe. Jews hate Jesus. Jews hate Christians. And the, quote, church people in America still do not have enough Bible knowledge to identify these people for who they really are. It's amazing. With that said, here's what I want to say to you. I have never, not once ever, have I advocated for violence against any man simply for his belief system. I've never said, kill Jews. Never said it. The government of God, with the exception of just a few worldwide definitions of right and wrong, the government of God does not punish people because of their beliefs. The government of God punishes people who commit murder. The government of God punishes people who steal, who rape, who kidnap, who commit perjury, and a few other things. But the government of God does not jail people, kill people, take their property because of their beliefs. It's only when man's beliefs causes someone to commit murder, steal, rape, etc. Now, an argument can easily be made that the Jews' religion has caused men to murder, rape, steal, etc. It happens all the time. As with the case with Abram and Joanna last week, the Jews' religion, which wrongly identifies God's chosen people, is the reason why Abram was harmed and why they stole Joanna's car. And under God's law, I do not believe those people would be punished because of their false beliefs, but because of their actions. They committed kidnapping, torture, and theft. They did those things because they're in the business of persecuting those who have embraced the ecclesia of God, the same way those first century saints were embracing the ecclesia of God. I got sidetracked there for just a minute. But even with being persecuted, having our bodies beaten, thrown in jails, having our property stolen from us, I've still never advocated for violence against those who have violated us. Now, it's certainly in order, I'll say that. But the government of God, from a human standpoint today, is the tail and not the head, so to speak. And that's one of the reasons why evil continues. And so my message this past week in no way advocates for violence against the, quote, Jews simply because of what they believe. But I am saying without a doubt that misidentifying who God's chosen people really are is one of the biggest problems that the world faces today. And now, I'm sure, let me back up and say this. The follower of Jesus Christ, again, the ones who have embraced the ecclesia of God, again, following the king from Judah, those are God's chosen people. Now, I'm sure there are lots of people who heard the message the other night and just scoffed. There goes Charlie overreacting again. Well, I want to remind you that in Europe, and things that happen in Europe usually years later happen here as well, but they've been jailing people for years now. People who have not committed any violent acts, they've not attacked the Jews, but instead they made public statements that were considered, quote, Holocaust denying. And that's one of the definitions of anti-Semitism from the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance official definition of anti-Semitism. I want you to listen to this headline. 93-year-old German jailed again for denying Holocaust. The link is in the notes. April 1, 2022, Berlin. A Berlin court has sentenced a 93-year-old German woman to 12 months in prison for denying that Jews were systematically murdered during the Holocaust. The Berlin Regional Court on Friday rejected an appeal by notorious neo-Nazi Ursula Haverbeck against two convictions for Holocaust denial in 2017 and 2020. Judges ruled that the sentence could not be suspended because Haverbeck had shown no remorse or signs of changing her views during the appeal hearings. Haverbeck has repeatedly asserted that the Auschwitz death camp was just a work camp. In fact, historians say at least 1.1 million Jews were murdered there by the Nazis. Haverbeck has already paid several fines and served at least 30 months for similar crimes. The ruling can be appealed, end quote. This one was from all the way back in 2007, from the Lily White Southern Poverty Law Center, quote, July 1, 2007, ending a complicated international saga that began when he was deported from the United States in 2003, notorious neo-Nazi Ernst Zundel was sentenced to 5 years in a German prison last February for denying the Holocaust, end quote. And the link is in the notes. There were no accusations of violence by this guy. He didn't physically attack any Jews. You can read it for yourself. But 5 years in prison, an international manhunt. because he published some writings denying the Holocaust. Listen now, I'm not saying one thing one way or another about the quote Holocaust. I have no idea whether any of it happened or not. They lie about history all the time. That's not my point here at all. My point is that one of the definitions of anti-Semitism is, quote, denying the Holocaust. And they're putting people in prison for, quote, denying the Holocaust. No violence, just words and or books or publications. Another definition of anti-Semitism is saying that the Jews killed Jesus. Well, that's in the Christian Bible. It's been there for over 400 years. And the U.S. made saying that the, quote, Jews killed Jesus a federal crime. At least they're halfway there. Here's another one from 2022. Convicted French Holocaust denier arrested in Scotland. A French Holocaust denier who was convicted under France's anti-Nazi laws has been arrested in Scotland after authorities searched for him for 2 years, police said Tuesday. Police Scotland said Vincent Renouard was arrested in Fife, north of Edinburgh, on Thursday on behalf of French authorities and that he appeared before the Edinburgh Sheriff Court on the same day. Investigators from France's Office for Hate Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity have been working with UK officials to track Renouard for some time. Renouard, 53, had been convicted of Holocaust denial, a criminal offense in France, multiple times. His latest conviction was in relation to a series of anti-Semitic posts on social media. He was given a four-month jail term in November 2020 and a further six-month spell in January 2021. A French judicial official confirmed that France was seeking Renouard's extradition but declined to provide further information. The Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, a British nonprofit, welcomed the arrest and described Renouard as a despicable Holocaust denier who has repeatedly been convicted by French courts. The charity said he was reportedly living in the UK and working as private tutor. It said his first Holocaust denial conviction was in 1991 for distributing leaflets denying the existence of gas chambers at concentration camps, end quote. Okay, so how long before the headlines are preacher arrested for continuing to preach from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? In violation of U.S. anti-Semitism, quote, laws. Here's another one from 2017 regarding the Ursula Haverbeck, 88-year-old woman who has a string of previous convictions related to Holocaust denial, has been handed a six-month prison sentence for denying Germany's mass murder of 6 million Jews, end quote. And you know what's interesting to me about this? Have you noticed the ages of some of these people? Here's one that was 88 in 2017. That would have made her born in 1929. And the Holocaust supposedly occurred between 1941 and 1945, making her 12 years old when it started and 16 when it ended. I mean, she could have been an eyewitness. The other guy that was 93, okay, that would make him 17 years old at the beginning and 21 years old at the end. Another potential eyewitness. Well, anyway, Ursula Haverbeck, who has been branded the Nazi grandma by German press, was sentenced by a Berlin court on Monday for denying the Holocaust at an event in Berlin back in January 2016. She claimed the Holocaust did not take place and there were no gas chambers at the Auschwitz Nazi death camp. Auschwitz is the largest mass murder site in human history, and an estimated 1.1 million people died there. Ms. Haverbeck, who once declared the Holocaust was, quote, the biggest and most sustainable lie in history in a TV interview, has never spent time in prison before, despite having several previous convictions for Holocaust denial. Denying the Holocaust is a criminal offense in Germany and carries a sentence of between 3 months to 5 years in prison. Ms. Haverbeck, who is a popular figure in far-right circles, was sentenced to 2 years in prison back in August for denying the Holocaust in an article written for right-wing magazine Stem die Reichs, Voice of the Empire. She has not served her sentences because she has appealed all of the verdicts and the hearings are incomplete. During the trial, Ms. Haverbeck claimed Auschwitz was a labor camp rather than an extermination camp. In September last year, a court in Detmold sentenced Ms. Haverbeck to 8 months in prison on sedition charges. The judge said she had a lack of any kind of respect and that she had made more offensive comments in the courtroom and ruled out the possibility of parole. She was found guilty of penning a letter to Detmold's mayor, Rainer Heller, saying it was clearly recognizable that Auschwitz was merely a labor camp. In November 2014, she went so far as to lodge a police complaint against the Central Council of Jews in Germany, accusing them of persecution of innocent people. Her late husband was Werner George Haverbeck, was during the Nazi period temporarily engaged in the national leadership of the Nazi Party, founder and director in 1933 of the German Imperial Federation of Nation and Homeland. Let's see if there's anything else I want to read in here. Ms. Haverbeck did the same at the trial of Oskar Greenig, the former Auschwitz guard, who is known as the so-called accountant of Auschwitz and stood accused of 300,000 counts of accessory to murder for his role during the Holocaust back in 2015. At the time, she prompted outrage for publishing a YouTube video condemning the trial and handing out leaflets entitled "Mass Murder in the Concentration Camp Auschwitz?" Wow, that is dangerous stuff right there. So again, I'm not reading any of that in relation to whether the Holocaust happened or not. That's not my purpose. My purpose in reading this is that the definition of anti-Semitism, as found in the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition, has been used to put people in prison for their words. The U.S., quote, government passed their, quote, House of Representatives overwhelmingly to potentially imprison people for reading the Word of God from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm trying to wake people up to another thing in a long list of things that has proven that the U.S., quote, government is not of God, has never been of God, is persecuting Christians, and it's way past time for people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ to come out of that system, come out from the, quote, Jewish nations of the world and into the ecclesia of Jesus Christ, the only God-ordained government in the new world.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.